Other members can come and they can come and they can join us later, or as they come in, instead of waiting for them. I'm Anne Prince. I'm the chairperson of this select committee, and I'm representing the Western Cape. I'm going straight over to the honourable members to introduce himself and everyone around the table from your side. You can introduce you. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Orisha, head of the committee, representing the public support in the town. Good morning. My name is
Good morning, my name is Alison Nasco. I'm a member of the public.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah,
good morning, everyone. I'm Granit Melane.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lori CDC. I'm the
thank you very much. We can now move to the apologies. I received the apology. Where's the apology card? From the minister. Minister Lebrown. Honorable Mahoshi. Honorable Papi. Honorable Hai. And Honorable Malamu. Those are the apologies. Honorable Hai's mother passed away, so therefore he's not going to be available for the whole 2 weeks. But he was a funeral arrangement in the Eastern Cape. The funeral will take place on Friday 26th, but I think we will get information at the nearer to the time. New people can know who you are.
My name is Rani. My name is Mateza. I'm a paralyzed officer in this.
Thank you so much. I'm going to hand over to you to do the presentation. Oh, there it is. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Let me just start by apologizing for the presentation about
no, it's fine. I think we can we do it. All of us, do you have the presentation in front of you? Yeah, we can but you can proceed. You will not proceed with another in commission. Thank you. Those are the replies. And it is accepted, ne?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And therefore, we can proceed with our presentation. Thank you.
Yeah.
PD after the process.
In order to ensure that the targets that we have agreed are adhered to. So if you can just move on to the content slide, which is slide number 2. Those are the issues that we are going to talk to. We are going to talk to the background of these claims from our perspective as the shareholder department, and we'll provide the progress to date. We'll also just touch on the engagements that we've had with rural development in expediting these issues, including the testing that has been set up. We'll also talk to settlement module options that were generated by the task team. And we also just want to touch a bit on our position as a department with regard to the resolution of these land claims. And of course, we'll then talk about the challenges that foresee. Moving on to slide number 3. As all you are aware, we are in the position we are in due to the claims that were opened in 1998, and as we are sitting here today, 61% of Safcol's land, the land on which it's operating, which is obviously owned by the Department of Public Works, is currently under claim. And we are anticipating that with the new window having been opened now, that this 61% is going to increase and may get to 100%. And obviously the pace of resolution of settlement of these claims has led to uneasiness in the community. And in 2011, our deputy minister intervened to with the travel of authorities in the area to see how this process could be expedited. The result, if you move on to slide number 4, was a task team that was set up, which comprised of ourselves, leading the task team, Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, the Rural Development and Land Reform, as well as SAPCOR, Time and Fast Track Process. As we're sitting here today, in 2015, no claims have been fully settled, and so rural development is more to that. And in also giving progress to the communities, our deputy minister has in the past met with the communities in both Limpopo as well as in Mpumalanga as per the dates that are shown on slide number 4. And unfortunately, we can't continue to going back to the communities to talk about process, because people just want to have a date that they can aim at as to when these particular claims are going to be settled. That's the, on slide number 5, we have a picture in terms of the number of claims that's about 32 and the various stages that they are at. This is the information that we have. Rural development may have more current information. But as we're sitting here today, there's no claims that have been fully settled, which means there are no properties that have been or land that has been transferred today. The task team has been meeting, and we'll talk about the product that they have produced up to now, and they are meeting twice a year. The Deputy Land Commissioner, Mr. Ndonja, is part of those of that particular task team from the rural development side. There have been generation of settlement models that we'll talk to. As well as a draft document that outlines those options. There have been workshops that have been held, especially with regard to Entabene, which is seen as a leading area, so to speak, to implement the proposed model. And obviously the engagements are continuing to between at both an official level as well as at a personal level. Thus, on slide, doesn't have a number there, but there's a table there, should be slide number 7. It has the other dates where all the various engagements have happened. and the task team meeting is also indicated in the following slide, which is within slide number 8. The two models that have been proposed here is the leaseback model, which is preferred by SACOL, as well as the strategic partnership option. The leaseback option, what it means is that the community would make the land available to whichever operator will then come in to still continue forestry operations for two rotations, which is 7 years. And what the community will then get in return will get the lease, the rentals for access and use of the land. The trees would be owned by the operator, in this case it would be SACOL. And then this agreement will then be renegotiated at the end of two rotations. The strategic partnership option is a much more involved option. In that, what it requires, it gives the community an option to get involved in the full value chain of the operation, not only on the forest fields side, in terms of ownership of land and of course the trees, but also further downstream, if there are processing operations being run by the operator, that they have the ownership of that particular of any value that is added downstream. I'm sure rural development will talk more to these options. They also have a urban rural model, which talks more in my view to the strategic partnership option. I just want to spend a bit of time talking to the principles that we believe ONASAI should inform the settlement of the claims going forward, and we are extracting these principles from the experience that we have had in the Rakkestad, where the largest land claim date was fully settled in the Rakkestad community. And what we are saying is that whichever option we go for should ensure that there are tangible and realistic benefits for the communities. And the package, how it is structured, should ensure that those benefits that have been identified are able to be realized. It should be equitable. The community should not feel disadvantaged later on. Because what you don't want people feeling that whichever option they went for, maybe they're not fully informed, they went for the wrong option. Because if you look at the leaseback option, you're looking at a 70-year agreement, that's what you're looking at. And this is also informed by the first, the four packages that were privatized from SACOL in the Western Cape, in the Eastern Cape as well as in KwaZulu-Natal, other communities ended up only having ownership in the plantations. Our experience has been that where the most value is added, which is downstream in the processing side, the communities do not have ownership. So the benefits of this kind of a transaction, they didn't get the full benefits of this kind of transaction. So if you're going to do this, you have to ensure that the communities have ownership through the full value chain. And know about some of the took that businesses pool like unfair pricing, where the trees will be sold at the minimal price to the processing side, which is sold by the strategic equity partner, and then the strategic equity partner makes the good money on that side, and the community are cut off from those benefits. And of course, whichever option you go for should also uphold the principles of economic value, of economic viability, financial sustainability, as well as holistic management of the package. And what's critical here as well is that the community, through various enterprises that get formed in the community, needs to be part of that food, whether it's in the necessary side, whether it's in the harvesting operation, whether it's in whatever happens to the finished product that comes out of the soil. They have to have an option in terms of participating in all those activities. What is also critical, bullet number 4, is that the agreement that is reached has to be a full and final settlement on the land claim. And what is, you know, the communities understand that the government in terms of all its obligations to the community, will end with the signing of the settlement. Later on, the community cannot come back and claim more from the government. So if the government has other priorities, they have to move on to other communities and other socio-economic issues that need to be met through the resources available to government. So that means, so the negotiation with the need to upfront place before government all their requirements so that those can be effected. There has to be institutional vehicles put in place to warehouse various interests which is the result of the land claim. For the rest of the you have the land as well as the property live in various entities. You have a property holding company, there's a trust link to that so that you don't have a situation, and I think that the land restitution process does not also allow, they don't have a situation where the properties and the land are free at risk because of various business activities or business agreements that are entered into by the community going forward. Going to slide number 11, we also believe that AFCOL has certain obligations that they need to meet in the interim period. The rentals on the land they need to be met while this process is unfolding, while hopefully to the, for AFCOL they get identified as the preferred partners for the communities to continue operations going forward. There are dividends, for instance, that are accruing as we're sitting to date on the four packages that have been privatized to date. Those need to be ring-fenced because the beneficiary communities will have a claim on those subsidy dividends. So we don't want government to be put in a position where now more funds have to be found to meet funds that have been paid to SAFCOL and be committed to the operations. In order to ensure that SAFCOL is identified as a preferred partner going forward, the neighboring communities need to be involved in not only in terms of provision of jobs and skills, but they need to be involved in terms of being a supplier base for the forest, as well as in enterprise development activities initiated by SAFCOL. And of course, SAFCOL should ensure a profitable and sustainable operations, taking into consideration the long-term impact of the decisions that are made today. And what we are actually saying here is that the fact that this land is under claim, the fact that at some point the community will want to partake in the operations does bring a certain element of uncertainty to the business. But that does not mean that SAFCOL should not, for instance, continue to maintain and invest in the operations today. Because, as I said, we are talking about taking a decision here. If they stop doing things that they should be doing today, we are going to have a problem in 30 years' time, and the quality of the soil that is produced is not up to the standards required, and the quality of course suffers as a result. And this is also sourced from experience in the Rector's Fell, because during the process of settling the claim, the mining operations were basically were stopped because of the uncertainty that was associated with that. A lot of skilled people left, and the government has to put in a lot of money to revive those operations later on in order to ensure that the community continues to benefit from the mining operations. So we need to make sure that we don't end up with the same outcome here. Yeah. And of course, what we are saying here, we are saying, and this is all directed at rural development, that we'd like to see the same engine that has informed the settlement of the private sector claims being afforded also to, in this case, to SAFCOL, which is a state-owned organization. Yeah, and going forward, what we are doing while awaiting this process to unfold is the investment projects that are being proposed by SAFCOL, we are appraising them in line with the economic development policies of this government, and we are ensuring that those investment proposals will ensure that the outcomes that we expect yesterday, the shareholder compact, are met. and of course what we are doing as well to address some of the risks that I have spoken about. We are ensuring that those investments do not lead to deterioration of the financial and paid worthiness of this particular business. There are some recent challenges that we are noting, obviously, going forward as a result of the state of uncertainty and, of course, the impatience that is in the community with regard to the pace of settlement. Safpol is being regarded as an enemy. It is being seen as having people's money. And, of course, what this does is it's also affecting Safpol's ability to put forward the case later on to be a preferred partner to the community's post settlement of these particular cases. So I'm on slide 13, apologies. I've spoken about the impatience, and of course the alleged invasions that Safpol is having to manage, and what that does it means that the temporary unplanted area, which is a measure of the efficiency of running the operation, are increasing. You want to keep that below 3% of the land that you're operating on. That's the industry standard. So that number goes up because if the land is invaded, you can't access, you can't plant on it. From our side, we look at the particular solar product that Safpol produces as a strategic asset for the country. And if you have all these particular issues, it means that the amount of solar product that gets produced will get impacted going forward. And Safpol has quite a significant clientele of SME sawmillers in the Limpopo and the Mpumalanga area that are totally dependent on Safpol. So if they are not able to produce the expected amounts, then they cannot service those farmers. So that's some of the economic risks linked to the challenge that we're talking about. One of the things, if you go to slide number 14, one of the things that we have proposed, which is Safpol, and one of the in the shareholder company said we need to have to initiate an agroforestry project. So because one of the complaints that communities have had is that there is land that we have a claim on, and we don't have land to continue to have agricultural or agricultural production going for. I'm trying to look for the word. In order to meet our food security needs, and we are saying, let's explore agroforestry and Safpol is now sponsoring a master's student in Stellenbosch to ensure that area is fully explored to see what is feasible on Safpol's land. And that agroforestry projects will be run by the community for the benefit of the community, obviously with the assistance of Safpol. So that's what we are looking at. We need to manage that, and we also need to manage that going forward. So if you don't have a situation where the land gets handed back to the community cut the trees and say, we want to plant millet here. Because we need to get the community to understand that this solar product is important for the economic development of this country. And we have adequate land for forestry operations, despite South Africa having very little arable land. I think what we have is the current arrangement on the figures there in terms of the rental that is supposed to be paid. That's 50 rand per hectare per year that Safpol is supposed to pay. To date, we have 5.7 million rand has been paid in rentals. There's the 1.3 million, madam?
The explain the symptoms now is page, right, but it's page every year. So 2013, 2014, money was not paid because there's still the negotiations of the rentals. The service provider is appointed by us to get a self control with the current banking. So the 50,000, but the board can change the private minister of KLF, which holds the decision of privatize. And the arrangement has to be done, which is now the 2013 and 2014.
Great. On slide number 15, I think some of the challenges we have spoken about, but just to touch on one, last year did a plot of the projects that are envisaged by Safcorp. As you can imagine, we're going to set up a miso mill and we are dependent on the solar product that will come off the forest. It's a long-term project. You need to get your money back. So what may happen is that the ownership may change in the interim. That's one of the reasons that we have to manage and ensure that we keep the investors and the funders of project investors by support interested despite this, the risk that we are talking about. And of course, the new owners, when they come in, they will have to accept the commitment that Safcorp has entered. And of course, goes without saying that the settlement model chosen shall have an impact on the future plans of the SOC. And that's slide number three. That was our last slide. And thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you for the If you feel like asking questions now, you are comfortable. So if you think we might proceed with guidance, we can proceed with the next question. Thank you. Over to you, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. Our discipline for today will be as follows. Firstly, overview of the registration of progress on the development of the rural economy transformation model, setting the framework for gentle commission of containers, progress of total settlement of claims on claims on land, where support operates, challenges and remedial efforts, and way forward.
Thank you very much for that. Whatever. My name is Uri Pilesupampo. I'm from Northwest. I'm a member of the police. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Our presentation will be divided into three. I will deal with the overview of the relationship program as well as progress on the settlement of claims, and my colleague from then will be prepared. These three of our presentation are also recorded in the presentation. The Commission derives its mandate from Section 25(7) of the Constitution. And then restitution is just one of the elements of land reform. This being land redistribution, land tenure reform, and development. The restitution of Land Rights Act of 1994 is the one that provides for the establishment of the Commission. And therefore the mandate of the Commission is to solicit, investigate, and try to resolve things through mediation and negotiation. And where both mediation and negotiation take, then land claims courts are different. Who qualifies for restitution? Is a person, a direct descendant of the person, estate or community? If it was dispossessed of a right in land, this has must have taken place after June 1920 as a result of past racial discrimination. And the claim has been lodged within the strike law. We all know that it takes place in December 1998, but the case came to the deadline. If the person has received just an equitable compensation when they were dispossessed, they will not qualify for restitution. The restitution takes the following steps. One, we may restore a right in land. We may provide an alternative land. We may pay financial compensation. We may do development, or we may combine the above three. The processing of land claims takes the following process. One, lodgement. Lodgement is the first stage in the restitution process, and it is where a claim is lodged. And then the second phase or stage is the screening. At screening, we determine the location of the claim as well as the nature of those claims. By research we mean the investigation of the claim. This also includes a stage where a claim is accepted or is dismissed. And once the claim has been accepted, then the claim is published through the government as well. Negotiations, this is a process where the Commission tries to resolve the claim through mediation or negotiation. Settlement, here the claim is not settled by the Commission. It is referred to court. Because the minister has not been able to settle the claim in another way, then the claim is referred to court where the adjudication is finished. And then implementation is another stage, another is the last stage. This is where we implement what is in agreement or not in contract or in terms of setting the place. So this may involve the acquisition of the land for the claimant or the payment of financial compensation. The right paper of the 1997, and that's three pages with regards to the settlement of claims. The first target was a 3-year period during which people had to lose claims. The second target was a 5-year period within which all claims had to be settled. And then the third target was a 10-year period where whatever had been settled, in other words, awards and other book settlement support has been made available in regards to what settled. And the target for the settlement of the claims was initially set at 2000, later extended to 2005, and further extended to 2008. Between 1995 and 2006, the Commission tried to focus on FM claims. The rural claims proved to be very difficult because they had to be settled on vast sets of land. There were competing claims, and also there were many beneficiaries and households which had to be given a remit. Progress regarding the settlement of claims. As at 31st January 2015, claims had been settled as follows. I'm sure you all have the presentation in Sugar, Eastern Cape, Lupage, all the provinces. One basic image is that we have settled 10,831 cases as at January 2015. And in terms of hectares acquired, we have had 316,000 hectares. $3.1 million. And then land cost, in other words, the amount that it has cost us to settle to restore land was $8 million. And then financial compensation, $8.5 million. And then altogether, we spent $6 million. And the settlement of these claims. Outstanding claims, including the whole speech, in terms of the provinces, what is outstanding in total is 8,035. And then, what's the name of the meeting? And my solution is to receive the rest of the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. Okay, honorable member. At the top, in terms of the rural economy transformation model, what's very, very key in terms of what actually drives the rural, the rural economy, and what we're saying here that in pursuit of the objective of the NDP, the DRDR adopted the rural economic transformation model. Now, I need to point out here at this point is that now we do have a separation right now. You get GRDRR, which is now the department, and then you get the commission as well that's going out towards the economy, which means the department and the commission having a divorce is slowly breaking away from each other. Areas of development rest within the department itself. Segment of claims sits with the commission. Now when we talk about the RETM, we're speaking of the rural economy transformation model. Key to the RETM is the separation of the government income development. And I'll speak later to that when I go into the wagon wheel. Now the wagon wheel is a part of the RETM, which provides for a land use as well as secures for 10 years for households, particularly the vulnerable female and child and childhood households. Okay, the wagon wheel is also enhanced by clearly delineated admin and development institutions, each with a defined role, and how each institution then relates to the other, as I indicated in figure 2C below. I'll speak to the wagon wheel. That's slide number 10. Now, slide 10 is what my colleague here was going to just now when he spoke about the wagon wheel. Now, if you see the outer boundary, and on the left-hand side, it says very clearly, the outer boundary circle, this is the title holder, the governance structure. Which is the governance structure? Now, when I go to my form slide 11, I'll explain that more now in detail. It speaks to your CPA, your governance structure that holds everything together. The other inner circle deals with grazing, the cropping, the forestry, and the forestry aspect is where we have hassles. And I'll go into more detail on that later on in the presentation in terms of what our hassles with SAPCO is right now. You will see also, we speak of a royal household, which basically talks to moral authority, not necessarily traditional management. If one goes to slide 12, figure 2C. Now, it speaks about the state being of the, being of the authority. And then, below the state itself, who's responsible for admin, the governance, and actual responsibility is your CPA, your traditional council, your trust. As the case may be, if you can look at the right-hand side there. The key elements of accountability is substantive and not numerical forum, the quarterly meetings, the annual reports to Parliament via DRDLR, and regular elections. Right. If you have a CPA in place, that's what needs to happen. Okay, now this one needs to happen. And the CPA or the trust is now the admin governance party we're talking about. Now, the critical aspect then is what makes money. The point that my colleague was alluding to just now. The investment and development financing facility, blue one. Now that is the aspect where when the money is made. If it is forestry. Now all the members that sit here should be people that have the expertise in terms of that kind of investment venture. Right? So it wouldn't actually be members, all the members of the CPA. There's probably maybe two or three members of the CPA. The balance of it actually made up of skilled people in that area or in that sector. Alright? And that is responsible then for generating income, making money for itself. Now, after shareholding and dividend have happened at this level in the blue sector, money is then transferred back to the CPA. The CPA then has the authority then to start distribute those funding to the community itself. Now, when we spoke earlier on about the delineation, that's what we spoke about. You got business structure, and then you got the CPA government structure, and how the money is split. Now, the equity. If no one goes to the next slide, he speaks to share equity enterprise model. What he's saying, there will be shareholders, there is a landowner. There'll also be a business owner as well, which is also a shareholder. Now, where the book meets in the middle is what we call a joint venture or the new company or the holding company, which is key in terms of moving it forward, in terms of driving the business forward. Right. Now, in terms of the settlement framework, if one goes to slide 14, in 2008, the Minister approved a principle that claims on commercial forestry land should be settled by the acquisition of land only and not the timber. It would not be in the interest of the economy that trees must also be acquired. I think that this is actually cementing the point that was made earlier by my colleague here. In fact, the option of strategic partnership, then I should actually develop another, and then I'll talk to that in my next slide. The Bojan model can be supported by the research and development program of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. Not the commission that, the department. Okay, the strategy for that is a strategic partnership which now can take into, which now can take the form of a mentorship, co-management, share equity arrangements, and contract farming implementation. Now, a lead-back model. Okay, now, lead-back model is where DRDL are acquired and transfers ownership of the land now to claim. The claim owns the land and leads back to the owner of the fee for a maximum period of two rotations, anywhere between 16 and 20 years for council. Rental is payable at 7% of the value of the land. The land value is reviewed every 6 years. And the levy also pays back the market rent of the use of the land. Okay, now the levy also provides incentive for payment so as to help them guarantee a supply of raw materials. And at the end of the second rotation, the parties may renegotiate new terms that could result in increased ownership of the business by the claim. Application of additional benefits will be looked at below. And then the second model, this was the lease of the lease act. Second model is the strategic partnership model. And here talking about where a DRDLR okay, again a quite in transfer also of the land to okay, payment. And here the government requires a share in the scheme, the extent of which is informed by the plantation, the business plan for the plantation itself. The claimant and owner and the owner of the tree form a partnership in the ownership and management of the tree. The land is not to be included in the partnership. Right, the partnership to rent the land for the duration of the partnership paying a rent of 7% land value. And partnership to have okay, now to have the focus, which the committee spoke about earlier on, including the okay, now tangible benefits, transparency, accountability, okay, confirmation and risk. And risk management. The other additional benefits will will be the formation of enterprise where the community could start their own businesses and provide service to plantation management. Now this will enable the preferential procurement. The owner of the field and DRDR to assist the claims with the development of enterprises and providing claimants funding assistance. The owner of the trees to continue with its social compact and socio-economic development initiatives within the adjacent rural community inclusive of claims. Okay, now we're on to slide number 18 and we also continue with the provision of skills and knowledge transfer to land claim. Okay, focus to rural infrastructure development for community benefits, employment opportunities, and the objective to ensure the settlement of claims on forestry land is sustainable and present a direct, realistic, tangible, and maximum economic benefit for the community. Now those two models, and now the contract management in terms of dealing with those aspects. If one looks at the at a contract for management of my timberland shall be made available to the community in 6 stages. Implementation of this approach shall be sequential and simultaneous. And the stages are as follows. Stage 1 is in terms of alien weed control. Stage 2, stage 1 plant and seed maintenance. Stage 3 includes stage 1 and 2 and planting. Stage 4 it includes stages 1 and 3 plus fire prevention. Stage 5 talks to stages 1 and 4 and timber harvesting. Stage 6, okay, stages 1 to 5 plus timber transport. Now, the model selection is key in terms of the long-term solution. And what is a great driver for model selection is in terms of project size, availability of government funding, okay, that's okay, the genus, the age class distribution, the technical management, and the business activities within our community. Now, in terms of where we are, okay, now in terms of sample play, it's slide number 21. We have a total of 36 claims, right? And it's broken up into one for Kaden, the strains in Limpopo, the 15 in Mpumalanga. Now what this table talks to very clearly as well in terms of at what stages are these strains? Now look, okay, you'll see there's 21 that's sitting already in a negotiation phase. The commissioner spoke about this earlier on. Now this is, in this phase, in terms of where we as a commission need to go negotiate with the claimant and find a settlement model that is in agreement with them. Right now, with the kind of model that, okay, now that is being proposed, they're not too keen to settle on. And this is why there's so much discussion in phase four. Now, then claims on several operations. What we are saying here, there are 36 claims of self-conceptual operations. The new claims that, okay, now that are currently being lodged are not being processed as yet in terms of Section 161G. We agree with 61% of the land where, okay, now we're self-conceptual operating claims. Okay, now the base of claims as of the 1998 other case. Now, most of the land is owned by the state through the Department of Public Works, and which is leased back by the Department of Agri and the Forestry and Fisheries. Yet, okay, now, through this, only one land claim has been settled, with the land also being transferred, and there is a tenant claim in Mpumalanga. Three other claims that were settled in Limpopo, but the land has not been transferred because there is no settlement model to settle with that court. Until making the case. CEFCOL started paying a rental for the land it now uses in claim that year. Our challenges. This is the crux in terms of driving. I discussed with CEFCOL on the settlement model to be applied to start in 2008 after the Federal Minister of Land has approved the settlement model for commercial forestry land. In February 2014, the Commission presented the RDC to the DPE and CEFCO Expo and proposed the model. In May 2015, the CEFCO Board approved for piloting the lease-back setting of the model, for piloting in Klen in Intervene Plantation, where the Commission has been working with the claim since June 2014, discussing the commercial policy model. Our biggest challenge with the model is that the duration of the lease spans over two rotational cycles, which means 70 years, because CEFCOL operates on a 35-year rotational cycle. And that's an issue. And Section 27A of the National Forest Act entitles successful claimants which have claimed the state forest that is rented to a third party rental to be collected by the Minister of Defence from the date of presenting to the date of settlement. After settlement, the rental is payable to the claimant. Now, this money is not cost down. It starts from the middle. It is in Defence or in CEFCO. And the rental payable by CEFCO, by GCW land, is leased from Defence. 50 rand per hectare. Now the 50 rand per hectare is significantly below market related price. Now we are asking people to go and live on this property or actually get a living out of this property right now. And with 50 rand per hectare, I think we can go to unsafe to the same effect. And CEFCOL only started paying rentals for land it used in 2013. The payment for 2013 to 2015, which are required to be on a market basis, has not been made. can limit the benefit attainment with the ordinary be entitled to, making it difficult to convince them to accept the least as model, the self for an object. Most claimed land is not vested. And by vested we mean that the confirmative ownership of the land by the state is under the constitution. Approval for disposal of land in terms of the State Land Disposal Act of 1965 is signed by the Minister of Public Works. This approval tends to delay the transfer process, which normally takes the form of a donation. And if it's going to be a donation, ultimately then you need Treasury's approval before any transfer can happen in terms of Treasury regulation. So here what you can say is that once I see transfer process, it has permission to transfer the land which is owned by the Department of Public Works, which is now vested, which now becomes the donation that also needs to go to the Treasury. And that is a huge amount of delay. Now, these factors have actually contributed to the delay in the settlement of claims on self-call operations. All right, but to the notion that you mentioned. Now, as possible way forward, is that what we've done is that we've gone ahead and appointed universities and research institutions to supplement our research. I think that is one of the weaknesses in the commission right now in terms of research. So we've gone ahead and appointed them. On the second bullet, although 5,152 land claims that still require research, it's 2,662 will not be researched in the 2015-2016. I know you're presentation is 2014-2015. And apologies for that. It's supposed to be 2015-2016 financial year, the current financial year. And the balance then will be done in the 2016-2017 financial year. I think it needs to be changed as well. In your one case, 2015-16, it needs to be 2016-17 financial year. Okay, apologies for that. The RETM also now provides a framework for the settlement of claims including dispute resolution and problem solving mechanism. The Department of Public Works has appointed a self-provider that is assisting with the vesting of the property. I think that was the point that my colleague alluded to earlier on the draft, in terms of determining the success that we can have in equipment distribution. CEPFL has approved the lease model for halting. The Commission will use the model and its route and its RETM in engaging communities on the settlement. It must be pointed out that there are some communities that do not want tenancy and lease on their property. CEPFL has been taken to pay market-related rental on an annual basis. We need confirmation of that. And DEF is currently conducting a rent review and valuation of all land with that policy. I think the two or three words that you want to end, those words will come out. I think there were two or three words that you had afterwards of right. The existing error from our side. But it's an incomplete sentence. This is the answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Are you done?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think from my side, 15 years, clearly there is a lot of issues. Support. I don't know what you want to do to change this clearly I want to thank you for the presentation. I'm going to allow the members around the table to ask questions. I also have questions to ask. I think I'm going to ask my questions the time around first. I don't think I will. The one question that I want to ask is how are you prioritizing the interest? The claim, considering that if the claim is even a huge impact on developing the developmental agenda of the government. If there is a time frame to deal with these kinds of claims, or do you prioritize it for that reason that I want to raise? The other one is, are there any other partners who have already shown interest in the partnering with the community after the settlement they finalized specifically here in this phase? Your program is worth setting out the planting of trees, etc. I think I will ask this one. The other one that I want to ask out of my head, do you really think that you will win the second or the win? I remember I attended the summit in the past. In a lot what you said, sitting there, I then think that things were now going better. But listening to Commissioner, to you, I'm very concerned that we are not going to reach our target, getting out of here. For us as committee to love, really, I don't want to sit here for 4 years. And after 4 years, they can come in, the other people will come in, will deal with the same issues. At least during the 4 years, I want to see you really go there. And we want to, we want to understand, before sitting here, listening to you, I think we want to play a part to a role to make it possible. And how? So I'm going to allow the members to ask questions for, like I'm saying, I'm sure all of them will be okay. Honorable Farquhar, Honorable Smith, second. Good morning, Honorable Farquhar. Thank you for coming. I know that it was struggle with this site. Welcome. Can you quickly introduce yourself? Because when you ask a question, then you will go to the part of the members.
Okay, my name is Stefan, I'm a member of the Commission.
Thank you, Honorable
Member. Okay, I'll leave you with Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. President has spoken up a number of the truths for the submission of the state and so doing the men. Looking at the process, how long it will take, there is a fear that the come June 2019 will still be back. Speeding up the process, ensuring that this the imbalances of the country, which are the constitutions, like you said, Section 35, 567, the things that it is in a very short term, not encouraging. Then rush for the land rush for illegal occupation. But which means applying a rational way of doing certain things. It is process, indeed, changing a scope or a wish path. Who is drawing us back to achieve our objective? What are all these achievements? Are they identified? It was a preamble. My question is subtle. There is a myth that needs to be demystified. That subtle is not assisting the community. Others are looking at me as an enemy. So how best can we make sure that it is community friendly? Are there some workshops that can reflect that the most important role that is played by this school? Lastly, because I will have a second bite later, the universities that are not taking on board in terms of research. Do you have some specific universities that you can mention for us? Thank you,
another powerful.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm going to start with the last section on the rental of the land by land bank. The land, 70 lease, in that the communities are not feeling comfortable. I would firstly ask why are the communities not comfortable with leasing out the land. And I would also quickly comment that maybe it's not really beneficial for them to, or they don't see it as beneficial to rent it out. And that might be the reason why they don't want to do it. Otherwise, they would agree to that because, I mean, people want to benefit from what they have. If we look at the current rental that is 50 rand per hectare, and I'm proud to say this is just one page now. I want to go back to the previous page, if you just find it. So you page 50. This LeaseTech model, rental payable 70% of the value of land. Okay. And if I go and I check, for example, on page 7 on the purpose land place, average value of land I've worked out is about 5,900 per hectare. So if we work out from that, then the rental on such land should be an average of 430 per hectare. So that's just a question that I'm putting in, which might be a bit problematic. And that might be the reason why they don't want to sell the contract, because they don't see how they're going to benefit. The other question I have is on the real model. I was at the communal land in Dava. And I spoke with different people there on with different views of this thing. But one thing is quite definite that communities in general don't feel very comfortable with the current model on the table. The first thing that I've realized is when look on the side, it says that the ownership of land, where is it? Sorry. Yeah, on page 10, 11, 12, on page 12, it says institutional lines use rights of / full rights. Now in terms of that in Dalba, the option of full rights was never given to anybody in any of the breakaway groups there. It was pushed to say institutional rights, and all you need to do is give out what rights you want to include in that. In terms, and that is specifically in terms of residential units. And communities in general feel that although communal land should be, you know, kept within community, they want to start to have economical benefits from the residential units. And but that is not given. I cannot see how we're ever going to benefit these individuals financially if they are not going to have ownership of the residential unit. The second thing is that because I think the concern amongst tribal communities is specifically that they don't want you know, unknown people to just flow in into the community. Now that's the problem is because we sit with a crisis here. On the one hand, we talk about integrated communities. On the other hand, we keep communities separated from each other. We say, if you're not part of this community, you can't be working. So I just want some clarity on how we're going to approach that. One possible solution might even be if people have full ownership rights of their residential units within communal land areas, that they can be such, you know, that's something that I would have been happy to present there, but we were not given the opportunity to even collaborate on full ownership. So if they have full rights, that you can even have a written within that title deed to say that the communal governing structure, whatever, whether it's a trust or whatever, have the first buyback right on the property if it's a sell of such a property. To give that community at least the option to keep that land within itself. But that's what we need to put down. I think I'm going to stop there if I invite to do another thing on our action.
Thank you. In the first consideration from the quality of the public side, those amounts that you mentioned there, I just want to know that these amounts paid the community over to the Department of Forestry and Fisheries. Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Can it be utilized, or I assume, for the process of land banks as now in a different part? How is this being addressed? The doubt is assuming the land, but the needed development is being in the place. And is there a way that is in the Department of Rural Development and Plans on page 5. The overview of the research program, if I understand correctly, if I look at that and title 6, it could take, the whole process can take up to 8 years before something has been carried out. My question is, does the ordinary man in the street really understand this and really know this, that these are the processes, these are the timelines, and if they know this, we can prevent a lot of negativity and frustration from themselves. Then I would like to go to a presentation for page 17. Additional benefits that's been discussed in the application to both models. The formation of enterprises where communities can start their own decision enterprises, the plantation management and all that. Is it mostly for the Department of Public Enterprise and or for the Department of Community Development and for development. And I raised the question, which I would like to know if it wouldn't help to focus on this aspect in this mission of citizens, and if so that the silence can have a bigger understanding and more opportunity by including this particular process. And then, if the department has focused on this, does the department have the capacity to assist these families in this process and make them fully develop and understand how to form enterprise and its contributions and governance? And then the last question, I want to go back and I think I have a question to you. It's very second all the questions in consideration that other colleagues passed and looking at the summit issues that can are there. Especially with transport, as this is subject to the head side of the enterprise, where we are being and going to the process of the land claims and restitution took a long time, had a lot of problems. Other ones, it seems as if there could be a conflict of interest. I don't know if that is the network, maybe it's not the network, but yeah, sort of a non-alignment or confidence or whatever. The key is between citizens or claimants, people claiming that they land, while state-owned enterprises are involved in that. And the question needs to ask I'll say especially citizens of this mind, government they're just think of the government public advisors. It's the third legal point. The second model chosen shall have an impact on future affairs of the federal government. As a member of public, I understand that we have described economic growth. But we also have to try to find people and the whole process. So, who's taking priority in this process? And I think this is a very serious question. I would like to know how that is about the public enterprise system, as well as the public system. We have now actually a set of government entities having difficulty with the government programs at the top of that.
Thank you, Honorable. I think I'm going to allow previous parties in Portsmouth to do a answer on the question. And I will allow for over to you.
I didn't have the first point.
I think before you go, I need to understand the one thing on the 14 and the DTV presentation. The 94 million will say sending the rest of you in the impact of this, what you're saying.
Thank you, let me start by saying that as you all know, we are regulated by the system as well as the SCM. In terms of the law, every claim
8,035 claims that are currently outstanding from old protests, the claims brought as of 1998. Now, those ones that are on page 4, negotiations, 2,533. What is currently happening is that we currently doing a business costing for, for the state, which would make come to the committee as well, in terms of getting additional funding so that we can fast-track the settlement of the claim. What Commission is saying is that 2533 that is here in this hall is now at an advanced stage. If we have the financial resource, we can actually surge ahead into settling more claims than what we're settling right now. So we need your help on that. Okay, now in terms of actually allocation for more funds, the base load will come from our side of the NIAID Commission. The 5152 they see on the page 2 are the ones that we said is currently research stage, and part of that we're going to do internally, part of it we're going to outsource to the university. And some of the universities are Fort Hare, it's University of Western Cape, University of Pretoria,
KZN.
There's none that's been appointed now in the third tender that went out. The second tender is going out in the next 2 weeks, I think. That's for the next batch. So those are the ones that are coming through, which will actually help us reduce this 5152 that we're talking about. Now, I think there was also a really broad question that was asked. Are we going to win this battle against the claims? Now, there was a serious injustice that was done in the past. And now that will need to be corrected. Now, if one looks at the Commission presentation, I think it was on slide 7, I think it was. There was over 80,000 claims that were lodged in 1998. over 8,000. Now we're sitting at 77,831 at a cost state of 50 billion. So which means we have made a dent. The 3.1 million hectares of land that we've settled already. So it is a bit slow, but there's certainly movement that has happened. Now, if we give them the resources as well, we can actually up that amount. And I'm saying a means now to do that, if one goes to that slide 8 again, okay, now to the 2588. After we're costing, okay, now we've costed that, we will certainly come now to the committee to get, additional financial resources. So on the question of, I'm winning the battle, I would say yes. It's a very tough vote, yeah, but you get it. I think there was another question asked, are the other parties in the cost claim? Yes, please. Okay, now there's Bedrock, there's Mondi, there's Sappy. Okay, all of them have to become involved in this session. Now there's business models in terms of each one of them that they're putting in place right now. So in terms of balance of moving forward, yes, we will need the stakeholders involved. I mean, CEPCOL is not the only one. There's various other ones that we have right now lined up. All right, that we work with, that we're buying land, we're leasing that, and then they're fishing the community. Now the comment that my colleague made just now. He said, what if the community decides to cut the trees at plant media? Right, now that is a risk, is it? Sure. Yeah, but then I'm saying, how can we circumvent it? How can we give community an alternative? And I was then looking at what is the planting of mushrooms? Well, that's not assist the community then, because I was not saying, we're saying the mushrooms, which means we still have the trees, but when I give mushrooms a chance now to grow, and who can help us with that? She's supposed to give up a gap. In terms of, so now, these are options that are there, which we need to sell, if you intend to get in the buy. So that was that one. 2019. Is the process taking us back? Because the process is not taking us forward, it's not taking us back. The restitution process is a fantastic process. I mean, in terms of regret what happened in the past. And certainly I don't see us taking us back. I don't think anyone wants to say anything.
I think what is also important to note is that the bulk of the settlements that are on strategic land, with the result that a major economic impact arises out of the settlement of the market. You see, unlike when you are buying land for restitution process, in terms of restitution, you find that some of the land that we have to restitute is very strategic, and once a claim is settled there, you can have a major
as to why are they not comfortable to lease up. I mean, you're sitting in the community, the poverty is sitting, there's no food security now, and somebody can say, I'm selling a 70-year lease. So the bulk of the funding goes to where? It goes to trust for the CPA. Me sitting here in community in my single household, how much am I going to see? What's 100? 200? I'm going to be looking at 50 rand a hectare. All our people, no matter how the interest, they do understand the dimensions of you need to put food on the table. And nobody will fight for food on the table. So this is the reason that they are reluctant. And we say as they give some change that we need to change that thinking around. We need to put more on the table right now, and we are not doing that. And that is where we've got issues right now. That is why we're not finding it. Now, in terms of the other proposal of residential ownership limit, currently in the department and the commission, is that what the minister is talking about also one hectare to one household, which then will govern the issue of your household you may be talking about. Right? In terms of getting the individual title for that one hectare, which will then allow you to go out there and get your Okay, the Buddha hand is just a long statistic. Okay, now yeah, finance and start following. So Sanatana, that's already close to the professional life. The overview of the whole process is okay, now do the man in the street know what's happening? I think the honorable member asked about that. We're currently engaged in an intensive communication campaign, right? My officers are very stressed right now, much because he's dealing with a settlement of the 8,025 claims that we've got. We've got another 60,000 claims that's already lost, right? Which means the whole process that's going on in terms of dealing with it. And where we're running thin right now is in the area of communication. So, the point man is a valid point. I think that my guys are going out as much as possible. But in terms of getting through all 8,035 right now, I don't think we're there. The weakness that we have right now. Those are the two weakest areas of the patient in terms of research and communication. How can we address that? Is that we need capacity, we need people, we need more bodies to help us. I'm talking about 8,035 claims, the 6,000 that is there, all the other work that needs to happen. Each one of these phases has a degradation of beauty, which means you need individual people to do it. And right now, between the department and the commission, we are hustled on this in terms of financial resources to afford to do it. Then but a proposal is coming up as well, which may come to this committee as well, in terms of financial resources. Who takes priority on land ownership? Yeah, this ma'am, I think you're just addressable to our hub and GPE as well. I think who takes priority here would be the claimant. I mean, they are, as far as the commission is concerned, they are our clients right now. And we will need to negotiate with the relevant stakeholders, be it self-owned, internal putting in, taking our kind of workable solution on the claim itself. So that if the claimant,
Thank you. Chair, I'll respond to some of the questions and my colleagues here will be assisting me as well. Chair, you asked the question as to the potential partners for the development issue. Has answered the question. But I just want to also say that the communities themselves are also being courted by other players in the industry who are saying we can come up with a better deal than what we can get from SAFCOL. And that's something that we should not miss. With SAFCOL, we have some leverage in ensuring that the community gets a good deal, but we don't have that with private players. And the community will have to understand that, because unfortunately, sales people talk very smooth. They have very smooth tongues. But the community, unfortunately, will maybe the rural development can help in some way in evaluating the proposals that will come to the communities. We are not in a position to resolve. We are conflicted with has been the shoulder department for South Korea. One question on the 94 million rand, the impact of it. The funds are collected by Color Trust, which is in DAF. And that money is dispersed to communities based on proposals that the communities present to DAF to say these are the development opportunities we have in the communities. So that money obviously means that there's 94 million rand less of projects that could be done if it does not make it to DAF. So when I said we certainly are putting pressure on support to ensure that they pay those monies. Because they also defer to the picture with regard to the financials of that particular business.
Can I ask a question? So you are saying that 4 million before
project? Well, currently the way it is, because the land has not been transferred yet,
yes.
So the communities cannot have a direct claim to the money.
Yes.
So the money is in Kabila Trust, which we've got. And the communities, what it can do in interim, they can propose projects to the Kabelo Trust, which would then be funded through those monies. So that's how the process works at present. But as
the commission has indicated the committee will have a claim to the money from the date of the calculation of the claim. So later on, they can come back and say, we want our money. And for us, that is a risk for SAFO. Because if the money is not being put aside for that eventuality, then it would mean that if the money goes to other the funding operations within the business, it means later on, someone will have to come up with the money, and that person is likely to be national treasure, and we need to avoid that from happening. Harold Sepako asked a question with regard to the improvements on the image of software.
Thank you. Thank you. Will
Software
Management
Office
be waiting to see claims better? Yes, where the committee is currently waiting for the community in development, investing in the daily life of the community. The reason it went that way is that it's not allowed to negotiate land claims settlement with community, because they are leasing the land from DAF, and therefore it's not allowed to negotiate anything. Because they are not the owners of the land like the private sector is doing. What SAFCO is doing is, in the previous financial year and the end of March, they invested 6.8 million in development projects, which is social development and enterprise development projects, from education facilities to housing to clinics to small businesses and larger enterprises. They fund social contact with communities, where in the context there's a grouping of communities, employed communities, unemployed, the police, the anyone surrounding the plantations. They've got 13 contacts signed in their 18 plantations. The projects they are identified as communities together in the group that, let's say, the communities need a school or a bridge, then that call builds and provides the community from their pocket, which has nothing to do with the land claim processes. So in that case, they are building their image to be the preferred partner in the future with communities. And the next couple asked about workshops. There hasn't been much workshops with the image of SAFCO. As a department, we are trying to work on that. How can we make SAFCO to be known, not only where SAFCO operates, but nationally? So we are in process that we should, that the media and communication of SAFCO and GPE are waiting for a stage. And the research where SAFCO is working with the Ministry of Pretoria. The SAFCO has established a chair and the University of Pretoria, which is postgraduate and part of the forestry, where the land claim research work is being done. Like now we are basically there. The department has reviewed the Shadow of SAFCO, which was presented. Was it presented last? I don't know. But on that, what SAFCO is doing is, what the department and SAFCO is doing is that you identify projects which we think will benefit the community, not only land claimant, but overall community in rural development. In forestry, because it is very rural and mostly the forest of the poor who are there. So we identify projects which are downstream, such as agroforestry, furniture manufacturing, timber frame structure, to name a few, which will benefit the communities, which can take, and when the modules are discussed here in terms of, let's say, strategic partnerships, those are where the on the slide by the colleague here, where the benefits is, what the benefits that they can then be approved by the community. Sure.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Alright. Arnold Smith asked with regard to the discomfort of communities with the Middle East back model. I want to say, that's the option that the Southcourt board would consider going forward, but the ministry has not signed off on it. As, from my presentation, we from the department would like to see a greater involvement of communities in these businesses, including in the food value chain. So from our point of view, we would like to see the strategic partnership model based on the wagon wheel model in a prepared way going forward. So that provides the communities with an opportunity to get involved in the so they understand operation, so they can have an option at the later stage to say, maybe let's buy out the strategic equity partner and operate this business on our own. So that's what we'd like to see. Of course, for the businesses, they would like to have the least of money because it keeps the communities dependent on them. The community is only benefit from the rental money that they get from the business, and which, as it has been indicated, is not adequate to ensure proper economic or adequate economic benefit for the community. So that's from our side, that's what will be recommend to the minister to say, let's go for this difficult model. This is the model that will ensure sustainable communities and sustainable partnerships. We're not going to have a situation in the future where, because the communities are only getting 200 rents a month through the leaseback model, they said, let's not ban these forests, they're not benefiting us in any way. So we'd like to see them getting a lot more involved in the food value chain. Yes. With regard to the cost, Honorable Smith, as it has indicated, the cost of rental of the land, there is a review that Southcourt and DAP have commissioned, so that will determine the new rate. It will definitely be more significant than the 50 rent that was agreed in the past. Yeah. Yeah, there's still more questions here.
I understand that I lost or I missed the entire presentation. I just want to make a follow up on the sponsors on the involvement of Southcourt in terms of the urban development initiatives in the communities versus what the Upper says that the vampire corporate sector is in terms of what people to do to do best and to get better one. What I want to know and understand, on the basis of what you are doing, is there anything that you are doing to counteract what this vampire corporate regime wants to do? Because definitely going to misuse, deceive our people, exploit why should be the case that they can only get involved in terms of especially the lives of our people only when they are given a piece of land or an opportunity to operate in that particular life?
Yeah.
I know I might be asking a good question, but I just want to understand.
Yeah. Of course, from our side, we are concerned, Chair, that communities are not misled. As I said, the four packages that were privatized, we've seen some of the negatives that have come out of that in terms of communities not fully benefiting. And the rural development definitely and our best position to address that particular issue and to guide and to advise the community, because ourselves as a shareholder company, because we are responsible for Southcourt, communities are always going to look at us with suspicion. And I think it may not be proper as well on our side to want to advise the communities, even though we may be best positioned with the information that we have collected to advise them, because then that arm's length relationship that should exist will be violating that. So that's what I said. But the point that has been raised is a correct one. I don't know whether the use of vampire corporations is the right phrase to use. But yeah, but we share the concern that has been raised by another member.
Can I, before going to the
two
statements, can I just give
you a
number one member must go. You must say he's not going to speak now. Mm-hmm. Then you want to get a small.
So thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. I must also emphasize that the indeed the issue of education. Fortunately enough, we all of us that in land and mineral resources are trusted. And there is a cordial collaboration between the other countries, the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries, also.
Yeah.
So these are key. These are issues that we picked up, which we need to be handled. We need to be questions that we can provide. However, my worry is that there is a sense that things need to be some financial constraints. Which is impeding the frustrating, escalating the process, which I think should not be the main issue. The operation that is launched by the president is cutting across. To me, that there's key areas which is particularly the issue that the president I don't think the funds really be more than enough. The last thing is, you know, we've got a lot of positive things that are happening in Southern Africa. And we find ourselves trapped in only negative things. So the good way that we can is to have a lot of flaws. Indeed, we need to make sure that this information that is supposed to be community out there should pull it. So, it's a good job for the weather that is the Honorable Chair Special should also make sure that we go for time to make some oversight. Not only the successful one, but it will be in a form of maybe the supply chain, if you are in a corporate, well, never tell the seller tomorrow it should be the supply chain. So, that means allow me to set the wonderful process to meet you before I can get the lead to the Rolex. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Just one question. Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to respond to Honorable Labostakhni's question regarding the amounts that are paid to REF and whether they cannot be utilized for the land claims. I think the issue is, like you stated, Honorable Member, that there are two departments that are overseeing the process. With one having access to the financial aspect of the lease rentals. The National Treasury provides guidelines on how we should utilize the revenue that comes in. So if we had to discuss whether the money should go to rural development, they have to make the decision on that. But in terms of their process, what normally happens is they would like to get the money into their revenue fund, and then allocate the monies accordingly as they see fit, according to the budgeting process, which then becomes an issue. But then I think the discussion should be on whether the Kabelo Trust should rest with DEF or rural development, because then that would sort out the particular issue you're talking about.
Honorable, I was talking about the starting of enterprises.
Oh, yes.
And whether
we should
you want to
um As a department, we are pro that idea. We obviously think that SAPCO should place more emphasis on the enterprise development aspect. I think my colleague Kinele touched on some of the socioeconomic work that SAPCO has done in terms of building up enterprises, because that's how you actually get a buy-in from the communities. If you set up businesses, they have something that they can own, you provide them with the raw material to be able to sustain that type of business, then you get the buy-in instead of the communities having to wait for the money coming through the leases. I think one of the issues that we've come across in our other LLC, Aleko, people want to get the money. And with the CPA structures that are in place, if those structures do not, I wouldn't call it dividend, but do not distribute the money, then you do get the sense of grantment that you are currently getting. So it is a better option to have the community involved via enterprises that are set up so people can make a living.
Yeah. Of course, what it does is the community benefit directly is you remove the bureaucracy. We have seen the challenge of money disappearing because of all these competitive structures being put in place by the PPA. So if you are able to involve the communities directly through the enterprise that they will have formed, you want to think that's the most efficient and common model. As to who then becomes responsible for that, I think that's the development part of the whole development portfolio. But I think that the economic cluster as a whole has to also take a responsibility for ensuring that is realized. It's very much tough to the rural development strategy of government, because it can't just be about giving people jobs in agricultural activities. It should also be through ownership of fair processing and manufacturing capabilities, utilize the product from that agricultural product. How do you ensure, remember I was asked about the possible conflict of interest between the claimant and the SOC. Through the shareholder compact, as articulated by my colleagues, we ensure that the SOC also come up with activities or with initiatives that will ensure communities benefit directly. So in a way, we are hoping that we are addressing that conflict of interest that may arise with the from the SOC prioritizing itself over the community interest. So that's how we are doing it. But as I said earlier, it's a much bigger issue than just ourselves. It has to involve the whole cluster. Yeah, I think, Madam, that's all the questions that you
asked. I think I'm very interested in the about the money thing. I was asking at the time what I wanted to know when, but I read it, you were referring to related real things. Please
elaborate
more on it.
Thank you. Today at the strategic planning with agriculture. And when the team that I went with was actually the one of course. And the discussion then revolved around is that how can we start to turn the sector, right? Because we can't just rely on trees grow for kids of 15 years, 20 years a year. Now what are you doing interim trees? And in the discussion then somebody from the agriculture sector came and said, no, okay, then what we can do is actually engage in terms of mushroom planting. Because right now it's only a selected few who have the Denny's and a few others. Okay, now this in fact input cost for this is minimal. Yeah. And the returns are so much more. So if I put in one of our key drivers for what is APAC. Yeah. And part of APAC is interesting. That's one of the areas that is going to drive in terms of ensuring that land is restored either from Mali or from either Mali or Dapi or Dapo for the matter. Is that to encourage them to go and take on mushroom farming, right? But that wouldn't be driven then by the commission, that it will be driven by agriculture because they have the expertise.
Okay.
How do you do it? Yeah, okay, the commission doesn't have that expertise. Mm-hmm. But in addition, in terms of planting, in terms of further development, it was given to the DG of agriculture, which was last, this was in September of last year. Yeah, and it's part of the market. It's part of it. He to push, yeah.
Presented to the PC, and would be quite happy to share it with the select committee. I will just add that what SAFCOL has done, they have developed a new strategy informed by the new role that we have defined. It may actually be more useful to actually have the strategy presented, because with the role that we have developed, we basically develop options for them in terms of how they can go forward, how can they structure the business going forward. Now what they have done, they have selected that path, so it may be useful to actually get sub calls to come and present that strategy. So we will relay share that request to sub call, but we'll come with as well so that we can support their presentation. Yes. Can I just say we have our colleagues from the legal side. I don't know whether there's anything they would like to add to what we have just spoken about it. Okay. Yeah.
from
DPE?
DPE?
Yeah, there's a day. Yeah, so there's...
Okay,
yeah.
I want to know, I write it down here about the task team. I know that you've heard about the task now many times here, but I just want to understand what is the role in all the task team. Yeah. Can you please explain to me so that we can understand? Coming back, asking questions, explaining our organization, we know what this starting is and what to ask. You know the question that we are going to ask about the starting, the work that is.
And the role of the starting, it goes back as back as 2008. It was established when the claims were launched.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be prioritized. It was then that to try to continue the process that the trust team should identify the bottlenecks in terms of land claim settlement and develop a model which was then developed, not presented to the minister. It was presented only internally to GPE, but it was not presented because it was supposed to be presented to all the ministers, which is, at that time it was Treasury, Rural Development, GPW, Economic Development, DAF. It was where the minister will come from, where the who will give support to the post settlement of land claims.
who's gonna the least, because after the couple of the other four packages for support of franchise, the lease was entered to kick out in the company, the contract. So the money that's been paid and the support, post-settlement support, post-settlement support was invested by in the DAF forestry unit. So the trustee's role was to ensure that the Kosapo was the only one, KF was the only one that had the biggest land claim. Because as one person, minister then said that the department needs to be on top of things, on the issues that affect communities and how to resolve. That's when we met with the tribal authorities to understand what is it that they need to take away from this campaign and to involve them in the process going forward. But eventually the tribal authorities, it was the communities and the authorities were pulling apart. And that's when we said, let's now exclude a bigger group of the trustees, let's work as staff, SASCO, and rather Rockage. So that we can now identify what needs to be done, which is not only the settlement. So today, the only thing that we did was to develop the two options of settlement. And then it came that the minister said, of rural development, said that we've got a new module, which is the wagon wheel. Whatever you're doing, work based on this.
So the
starting point
is
operating. It is operating. It needs quite a year.
It's because only the part which was the
it was DAF, us, GTE, World Development, SACOL, and DAF.
Thank you. Is there any other questions on the
report? Thank you, Chairperson. First, I want to totally agree with, sorry, I didn't say that, that it is important for the community members to actually have ownership, even in the collective, but not, you know, that they actually have got something legally claimed on them. Because I think that's quite a frustration at this stage with the processes that you use in communal and combined ownership, is that people have got, but it's like they don't have the extra title to say, I put so much share in what's going on with FEMA. So that's something that I think we need to address going forward, especially on a rural development and land reform. In terms of the claims, as we see, there's about 8,000 or something that's outstanding. The new claims coming, the estimate is about 397,000 possible claims. Now, I've made a few calculations in the meanwhile because there's two things that bothers me. The first thing is we created a unfunded mandate. That's the one thing, because the allocation at this stage is about 2 billion rand to land reform in financial year, whereas the estimated cost for that, and I'm basing on the current cost of land reform, is going to be at least 200 billion. That doesn't include estimation of cost and inflation. And at the rate that we have done land reform, it works out to about 4,500 average of 4,500 claims a year over 20 years approximately, and we're not finished yet, but I'm on an estimate to finish in 20 years after the claims close. This will take us 100 years to finish the claims that is coming in now. And that is the one thing is our capacity. In terms of capacity, it worked out at about 84 years. In terms of finance, in terms of funding, and that is not including escalation, 100 years. And that, it's really that crisis that we have to, and I don't know if we can comment on that. I come back, I didn't get a proper answer on the ownership
of residential units in the Wagon Wheel model, because it was said at the communal land in Balbal that you can get use rights, communal use rights. So you're going to get a title deed, so okay, you've got use right on that 1 hectare minimum size property, but you're not going to have ownership of it. So that title deed is like saying, I can sell this farm for what you want. And they it was basically told to the people at the end of all that that will be good enough to get finance from bank. And I'm sorry, I can't see that is going to happen. That's problematic. So that's why I'm saying we really have to look properly into that, because it affects everything. I mean, they would set to a sustainable with that person changing and all of that. We need to start give communities economical power, but still holding out additional values and all of that, which is important. I mean, those communities, we don't want to negatively affect cultures and living styles and all of that, but we must look at individual things and situations.
Yeah, thank you. And that's
thinking
from the
what other model will be able to address the past, the injustice of the past?
I don't know. I think if people will come voluntarily, by saying, that was my part that I played, therefore I think I will do it right in this. But people will do it. And I think that we must look for other. While doing all these things, we must look at it, other options. How will we be able to address that? Thank you very much. I learned to talk about all these things. But we must get a reality. Reality of what we can be into. And unfortunately, from a political perspective. Thank you very much for your time. And we are very excited. We are going for you today, and we are going to have oversight, but it's not unexpected one, because we don't know where to go to do anything. We need to go to those ones, the same. Okay,
orange.
The project is the failures, you know, to get the failures in a different lifestyle, so we will be able to address those challenges. But we are going to work with you, and thank you for your time. I know it's not an easy task for functions for you. It's important. Knowing it, sometimes you must go and do. I'm still waiting for the prince, there's a lot of development there or there. Place, and we don't know what happened with it. And every time my people is asking, you are there, you must find out where this is, what is it. You, sister, the first family is so big, I don't know. But any case, how many farms do you have? You must come with us.
Well, I actually just lost all this small piece of land. That's 22 hectares. My first property that I own.
So I just want to bring to the committee's attention that PC has also made the same request to visit the operation, the call operation. So to go back to the committee server, you want to arrange that with one visit, or you want to have your own?
The woman?
The PC.
The police. Oh, right. Yeah,
well,
we will see, but you know, unfortunately, also the PC is
ready. Okay.
possible to do one better. But we can see, because I know that they're currently busy revisiting the program to see whether we can get one program. Thank you very much for your time.
You asked me a question and I answered you, then you didn't allow me.
Okay,
I just wanted to hear, it's related to, you know, that we can do oversight, specifically on the pieces of land from Chapel where the communities are not satisfied to share these. Can we get some more details on where those which one it is that actually, so that we can interact with those communities and understand nicely what is the reason and what their challenges, so that we can consider that.
Yeah.
I think just
have
that.
We have conversation.
Yes.
I think one of them is Mr. Bay in Kabe. Yeah, in Nkumalanga. And Shannon. This is the Shannon. But I think to my opposite and I'll ask him the list.
Thank you very much.
business practices.
Thank you.